This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Thursday, April 22nd, 2021. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home studio in New York before I head out to California tomorrow for our Sunday night game, Padres and Dodgers. Getting really excited for that. The Oakland Athletics are rolling, but any winning streak usually contains at least one comeback, maybe two. Well, yesterday, the A's pulled off one of the best comebacks you're going to see this year against the Twins. The two sides hammered away at each other for nine innings, the lead changing hands repeatedly. It was 10-all going into extra innings, and then in the top of the 10th inning, Byron Buxton came to the plate for the Twins.
And the first pitch, a swing and a fly ball, left center field and deep. Back it goes, deep it goes, and gone! Adding to that day, what was good is now even better. A 10th inning two-run blast from Buxton, and the Twins have a 12-10 lead in the 10th at the Coliseum.
That was Corey Provis on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. So if you're the Twins, you're feeling good about it at that point, salvaging the last game of this series. The Oakland Athletics loaded the bases against Alex Colome in the bottom of the 10th inning. There were two outs, and this happened.
Here comes the 0-1 pitch. Weakly hit on the right side to his left. The rookie bobbles it, drops it. No play. A run is in. Blankenhorn kicks it. Everybody is safe. Chapman is home. It's a 12-11 game.
So Oakland, with a faint heartbeat at that point, you thought the game was over, but no. Ramon Laureano came to the plate, had a heck of an at-bat. He's fouling off pitches left and right, and then this happened.
And the 1-2. Swung up, bounced to third base. Arise has it across the infield. He throws it away! He throws it away, and the A's have won it! Kemp is home! Andrews is home! Two errors in the inning by the Twins, and the A's winning streak is at 11. Incredible!
Absolutely incredible. When they throw one away, Willian Astudillo, the first baseman for the Twins, you could see him take one step to go chase the ball, and then he was like, what's the point? With all that foul territory in Oakland, there was no chance. Oakland wins again. Here's Ramon Laureano on that last plate appearance.
The close moments, they come to you all the time, and I was going to be like, yeah, that's happening.
And that throwing error was made. Can you kind of just walk us through what was going through your head?
That's what I did. But yeah, it just baseball gods. That's what happened.
The baseball gods. Bob Melvin, Oakland's manager, talked about the end of the game.
Crazy. The way the first two games went, and then neither team could hold either down. It was almost like it was going to go down to the last at bat regardless. If you put it in play, something good can happen. And that's exactly what happened there at the end. There's a lot of pressure on him when he gets that ball and has to make a good throw across the diamond based on how the game went. It just felt like the game is going to somehow end unorthodox like the entire game was. And it did.
So for the Minnesota Twins, a devastating loss. This was interesting as we're seeing the emergence of Byron Buxton. He had five batted balls of 100 plus miles per hour, a career high, and tied for most for any player in a game since the StatCast era began in 2015. San Diego Padres right-hander Denelson Lamet had to leave the Padres game on Wednesday after two scoreless innings and just 29 pitches because of right forearm tightness. He will get an MRI, that according to manager Jace Tingler. And he's considered day-to-day. Big red flags over this because Lamet's history of injuries and because he relies so much on that incredible slider. Well, the Cubs have been looking for a breakout. It seemed like they got one yesterday with Javier Baez at the plate.
In the air, left field, on its way, out of here. Grand slam, Javi. And the Cubs unloading at Wrigley.
That was Boog Sciambi, the legend, voice of the Cubs now, with that call of Javier Baez's home run in the Cubs' 14-4 victory. Shohei Ohtani hit a home run, but you know what's interesting about this one? He absolutely sprinted around the bases.
Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani hits a high fly ball to right field. To the wall. Goodbye.
Hey, by the way, he's got a pretty good sprint going around. He won't even let us enjoy that home run for Shohei Ohtani. Let's get his sprint speed on that home run for Showtime. Now his fifth home run of the season. game and flying around the bases.
That was crazy.
Yeah, flying around the bases. Just 17 seconds, the second fastest trip from home to home of any player in the big leagues this year. Ohtani is sprinting even through home runs. Now, before we get to Aldin Gonzalez to talk about the Athletics game and his Sarah Lang's, baseball is back, and so are your favorite teams and players. Catch the best of the bigs all season on ESPN Plus with more than 170 live MLB games featuring every star and every team in the league. Sign up now at ESPNPlus.com/baseball, and we're 1 week away from the NFL draft. I know my son is absolutely locked into that, trying to figure out who the Titans are going to take. He should listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, the CFB podcast, and First Draft for all of your NFL draft coverage. You can follow all of these shows wherever you get your podcast.
We're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging, so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Aldin Gonzalez covers baseball for ESPN, and right now that means Dodgers and Padres. Chapter 2, Aldin. But before we get to that, hey, Taylor's got a dental appointment this morning, or later today. He's a little concerned about that. Scale of 1 to 10, how are dental appointments for you? Because for me, I got to say, I'm totally at ease. I've never had a cavity. When I got to go for a teeth cleaning or something else, x-rays or whatever, I'm like, that's fine. Dental appointments, no big deal. What about you?
Well, sir, my wife is a dentist, and she is not a baseball fan, so she probably won't listen to this podcast. But on the off chance that she is, dental appointments for me, the answer to your question, there is 10 of them. I love going to the dentist. There's nothing better than going to the dentist.
Very nice. Taylor, you want to chime in? I mean, what's your level of concern here?
Aldin, we won't show anyone that the picture that you're holding up. Please save me from the dentist, because that's how I feel. I'm no dentist guy over here. I'm very concerned today.
Yeah, he had his wisdom teeth taken out. You know, there are a couple days where he's lying on the couch recovering from the appointment. So, and I also get the feeling, Aldin, even if you had horror stories to tell, you wouldn't tell them out of respect for your wife.
No, and to be totally honest, I'm not the best dental patient because I'm like most of America. I don't like lying down on a chair and opening my mouth and having people go to work on it. Trust me, it's not easy to tell. The best thing I can tell you, Taylor, is just try your best to relax. Think about something else when you're in that chair.
I'll think about baseball. Thanks for the tip.
Yeah, well, the problem for him is he's an Orioles fan, and so he can't really go to the place that other baseball fans might go. All right, so tell me, we got Dodgers and Padres this weekend, Chapter 2. It's like a series of horror movies in terms of the excitement level that we're going to have going into these games. Two real interesting injury situations. Nelson Lamet comes out of the Padres game last night, someone with a long history of injuries, of elbow problems. Lashes 29 pitches, as we said at the top of the show, came out with forearm tightness. And then Mookie Betts, you know, I'm assuming at some point we're going to see him this weekend. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the Mookie Betts one is obviously a lot less serious. Dave Roberts is hoping that when he sustained that injury, which obviously looks scary when you're asked by that pitch, that he got a lot of tissue. And it seems like that is the case. I think he's going to be in the lineup today. I think because they had the off day, it helps. We'll see what happens, but they did not think it was serious. The thing else, the Matt one, obviously, is the one that's concerning. It's the one that was concerning to Padres officials over the offseason as they went about accruing a bunch of starting pitching. They were obviously counting on the Mets to be there for them, but they were also aware that that was a precarious situation with his arm. He tried the PRP thing. I've seen a ton of pitchers, especially in the last few years, Buster, especially on the Angels, actually try to go that PRP route, and a lot of times it just doesn't work out for them. I don't know for sure at this moment if it hasn't worked out for Lamet. He went to go out and get an MRI, but I mean, you know, it's better than I do, Buster. Every time a pitcher comes out with tightness in the forearm area, especially when he's had issues there, the alarm bells start to go off. Dave Tingler did try to find a silver lining in it yesterday. He said that the good thing was that Lamet was honest about it immediately, which was right after the second inning of his season debut. And they're thinking that, you know, maybe because they caught it early, maybe it was just the adrenaline. Maybe it doesn't have to necessarily be something with the UCL. So they're hopeful right now. But look, Adrian Morejone recently announced that he had to go undergo Tommy John surgery. Now Lamet. This is why teams, I guess only the teams that were really aggressive this offseason, went out and got pitching. And then when they thought they had enough starting pitching buffer, they went out and got more pitching because the concern of going from the 60 to 162-game season, the Padres still have a lot of it. They have Snell and Darvish and Joe Musgrove, and they have Chris Paddock. And Ryan Weathers has been stepping up for them. But, you know, you count the Met in there, they're starting to lose guys. And this is a concern for teams throughout baseball heading into the year.
Yeah, and ultimately, that's going to be the question, I think, about whether or not the Padres can challenge the Dodgers National League West this year. Can they generate enough pitching to climb the Dodgers mountain? I mean, think about the Padres challenge. They lose 2 of 3 last weekend in what was three excellent games in San Diego. But they go into this series, and they face Walker Buehler tonight, then Clayton Kershaw, then Trevor Bauer, then Dustin May, who merely has the second highest average fastball velocity of any pitcher, any starting pitcher in baseball. And the only guy ahead of him is Jacob DeGrom. And they skip, and they were lucky, I'm putting that in air quotes, to miss Julio Urias, who might actually right now be the best of those five. I mean, that is crazy how much starting pitching depth the Dodgers have, which is why, you know, I'm going to talk to Sarah Langs about this coming up. But I really believe they have a chance to challenge those 114 win benchmarks from the 98 Yankees in the regular season, 116 wins for the Mariners in 2001.
Yeah, and Buster, I really do feel like the Padres' presence, in a weird way, might help them do something like that. Because you see teams who come off a World Series championship, and especially teams who consistently play deep in October. And they find the regular season to be very monotonous. And especially becomes the case in those middle months, June, July. You're talking about like the dog days of August. And I'm not saying that the Dodgers have a hard time maintaining focus, because clearly that's not the case. Like, look at the start that they got off. But sometimes you need, especially when you're coming off a championship, you need like that extra little sort of carrot or somebody else coming after you. And I think the Dodgers are motivated by one big thing this year, and that is that they want to win the World Series the traditional way. They want to be able to celebrate on the field, especially Justin Turner. They want to be able to have that parade in Los Angeles. But I think also in another way, the Padres being there, the Padres sort of clicking at their heels, playing these tight games, so clearly wanting to dethrone them in the National League West, I think it's going to help the Dodgers maintain a particular sort of edge this year that could, aside from their obvious talent, could help them challenge something like that.
All eyes on Fernando Tatis Jr. as he comes back from that shoulder injury. What have you seen so far in the games?
Yeah, it's tough. It seems very similar to what went on in that opening series, where I had a few scouts tell me that they're looking at a player who seems to be favoring that left shoulder. They saw it with how tentative he was with his throws, with on some of the swings that he was taking. And some of that is just sort of speculation because, you know, they're just watching him from the outside. And this could very well just be a player who's going through the normal struggles that happen throughout the course of the season, but are magnified because they happen at the beginning. But I had a concern coming in versus sort of a lot of people in the industry. That is because you're asking a player to sort of tweak some of the things that he does with his game, particularly with keeping two hands on a bat and follow through. And toying with the mechanics in that way can sometimes mess with players. But also, one thing that I was talking to doctors about Tatis is just the fear of that shoulder suffering a subluxation again, or maybe a full dislocation, and just subconsciously the fear of having the pain that he went through on that swing and missed on April 5th, having that happen again, that can prove to be sort of a tough thing for players to overcome in their psyche. I don't know if that'll ultimately be the case for Tatis, but there are challenges here with him that go beyond just the maintenance program for that shoulder. It's the psychological stuff. It's the mechanical stuff. And I hope he gets right back on track because obviously this Padres season is not the same without him. This Dodgers-Padres dynamic is not the same without him. He's determined to play through it. And, you know, a lot of people that I talked to said, why not give it a shot? Try it. See how it goes. But it's not easy.
Yeah, and I've heard too from evaluators that, I mean, you remember last year, part of the reason why he ascended last year was because he cleaned up his defense. He got back to the point where he, on simple plays, he would execute on them because he would get his feet under him. And what evaluators are seeing so far this year is that, again, he's loose with his mechanics and fielding, and he's making a lot of errors. And that's something that probably, you know, they're going to have to try to clean up as we move along here. All right, we got less than a minute. Tell me about what you saw, what you thought of the end of that Oakland Twins game yesterday, and how about the Athletics?
It's crazy. I have given up trying to figure out the Athletics for the last couple of years now, Buster. To lose 6 in a row, they win 11 in a row, and now they got the Orioles, so you start counting them, and you think, oh, my God, are they going to get to 20 in a row? I'm not saying they will, but Ramon Laureano said last night, he came up to bat. He's the one who brought in that last run with the fielding error. That he started counting. It was the bottom of the 10th, and he started counting the amount of guys that needed to reach base for him to come up and win the game. And he was just so confident that it was going to happen, and he said, because of the baseball gods. And when you watch a game played out the way that it played out yesterday, you can't help but believe in those baseball gods, Buster.
Yeah, that was a wild and fun game. It's just crazy how, I mean, two different chances for the Twins to close out the Athletics, and they weren't able to do it if they just made simple plays. All right, sir. Alden, thanks for doing this. I'm sure I'll see you this weekend at Dodger Stadium.
Yes, sir. Look forward to it. Thanks, Buster.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you got to check out NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease. Plus, it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious, beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurological disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting preventive.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
0096.
This is The Numbers Game with Sarah Langs.
Sarah Langs, reporter, producer for MLB.com. Sarah, I know you, like the rest of the baseball world, watched the end of that Oakland Twins game with fascination. It looked like the Oakland losing streak or winning streak was going to come to an end, but then they make those two errors at the end. And I'll I really believe this. Like the Twins are a good team. Alex Colomé has been a terrific reliever. But I think part of what went wrong with the Twins defense at the end was because, my goodness, it took so long between pitches for Colomé to deal. And it seemed like every hitter, he was like 3-2.
Definitely. It just felt like that final inning just took forever, as you're saying. And I'm sure, I mean, standing out there waiting in that kind of high pressure situation, that's not an easy thing to do. And the fact that Colomé came out, he threw 49 pitches just in his outing overall. I mean, it just felt like the momentum was just very quickly shifting over to the Oakland dugout. And by the time it ended the way it did, it was like, of course they're going to keep winning this way. Whereas in the first inning, I was thinking, you know, of course they're not going to win another game. I mean, this is ridiculous. They've won 10 straight, but here they are.
Who's the best team in the American League in your eyes right now?
I mean, they're looking like it right now. Everyone was saying the Yankees entering the year. I was saying it too, but obviously it's certainly not the Yankees. And the A's, I think I had maybe more expectation that they could be good than the Red Sox. And I mean, you know, all love to Alex Cora and what he's done with that team, but the A's, it just seems a little bit more like we could have expected this based on the roster they have. So I think I would go with them right now.
All right, let's play the numbers game.
Number three
is 4. So in that crazy game, I mean, we could do multiple number game segments just about that A's game. And I will have two things from there. And one of them is this number 4. So Nelson Cruz had a multi-homer game in that game, obviously a little bit forgotten since the A's did go on to win. But that's his 4th multi-homer game after turning 40. So he turned 40 on July 1st last year. So that's all since our shortened season last year and then in this year. So that's tied for the 3rd most multi-homer games for anybody after turning 40. The only guys with more are Hank Sauer with 8 and Barry Bonds with 6. And he's just an ageless wonder. You know, his first home run was 110 miles an hour off the bat. He has 63 110 mile an hour home runs tracked by StatCast. That's since 2015. Trails only Giancarlo Stanton. And the fact that he's still doing this, even as he was having some trouble getting around the bases yesterday, he's so much fun to watch.
Number two
is 11. So we already talked about the A's, but they've won 11 in a row, and they are the first team in MLB history to start 0-6 and then win 11 straight at any point, let alone doing all of this within their first, you know, 2-3 weeks of the season. Wow. It's been absolutely incredible. And I was looking at this morning and it made me laugh. So they've scored 71 runs during this 11-game win streak. That's more than 7 teams have scored all year. And every team has played more than 11 games. The Mets have only scored 42 runs. Yes, they've played fewer games than everybody else. 42 runs in 15 games. The A's have 71 runs in this 11-game win streak.
Number one
is 90. So this is something I've been looking at a bunch lately. So for StatCast, we put all of the StatCast stats into percentiles. So higher percentile is better. That's all you need to know for this. So players who are currently 90th percentile or better in both hard hit rate and sprint speed. So your power speed combos. And there's 4 guys right now. It's Byron Buxton, Mike Trout, Ronald Acuna Jr., and Avisail Garcia. And Byron Buxton is absolutely leading the way on this stat because he is 100th percentile in hard hit rate, which means there's nobody better, 97th percentile in sprint speed. So, I mean, he's just been absolutely outstanding, and all of these guys have been. And I think it's really fun to see them on the list because I think if you were asked without looking at it who to name, you might say Buxton because if you've seen what he's done this year, and I think you'd say Acuna, but I think people forget that Trout still has that really great speed. And Avi Garcia is a really unexpected and fun guy there who was always thought of as a really great athlete, but you're seeing it now.
Yeah, in Buxton's case, I think for years we wondered when would the offensive consistency come because he'd have burst where he would hit and then he would struggle and he'd get sent to the minor leagues. It feels like we're finally seeing the whole package of Byron Buxton.
Absolutely. This is as advertised. You know, maybe it's been a couple more years than when he first came on the scene, but this is exactly what he was supposed to be. And this isn't even considering the defense. And he had like a 4-star catch yesterday and, you know, which at the time kept the Twins in the game, which was, you know, a couple lifetimes ago during that very long game. But it's all coming together for him. He's already missed a couple days with some injuries. So you just have to hope that he stays totally healthy because this is the Byron Buxton who was among top prospects for so long. And this is what we were all told about. And it's so cool to see it play out.
I'll let you change his production from week to week during the course of the year. But I'm curious about your gut instinct as of today about how many regular season wins the Dodgers will put up.
Oh, my gosh. I'm still thinking definitely above 100. I mean, I don't know what they are, what it multiplies out to right now, what they're on pace for, but I'm going to say 105, 106 right now.
See, it's very interesting. Whenever I talk to some to folks who are rooted in numbers, they have a hard time. You have a hard time imagining 110, 115, 118, that type of situation. I can tell, like, I can almost hear it in your voice. Like, they're a great team. I don't know if I want to go that far out of the ledge.
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, you know, all the projections were in like the 104, 105 range. And I feel like all the Dodgers fans were like, what are we talking about? This is an all-time great team. But it's very hard to win that many games. I know we've seen it. We've seen the record. We've seen the record tied. And I would love to see that. But I'll stay with 105, 106 for now. But I mean, they're outstanding. I would not be surprised by any number, any triple digit number at the end of the year.
Yeah. And I'll be the nutty one who's out there saying, I think they're going to break the Mariners 160 game record during the course of the regular season. They are that dominant. All right, Sarah, thanks for doing this. Talk to you next week.
Thanks so much for having me, Buster.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster, Bleacher Tweets for a Thursday. First up, we have our pal David at BaseballFan1918. He writes in, I enjoy watching soccer, and when it snows, they use a yellow soccer ball to help visibility. Has baseball ever considered using a yellow baseball, especially after yesterday? A lot of people talking about the snow game.
Yeah, exactly. David, actually, back in the day, the owner of the Oakland Athletics, Charles O'Finley, he brought a lot of ideas to the table. Remember, his was the team that had grew mustaches. He had a mule for a mascot. And one of his ideas was to use a baseball that was orange. Now, I might have the color. I'm 99.9% sure that's correct. But an orange baseball, he thought, was something that people the players could track better. And so you can find pictures on the internet of Charles O'Finley's orange baseball.
You didn't have to say anything else about Charles O'Finley for me to know that he had a mustache, or at least promoted them.
Well, he promoted them. I was going to say, he didn't actually, I don't remember seeing a picture of him,
okay.
But you know, it was his team where they actually incentivized the growing of mustaches, you know, in the late 60s, early 70s. And Raleigh Fingers, the Hall of Famers, got that great handlebar mustache. Of course, the owner of his team was Charles O'Finley.
Pro mustache over there. Next up, we have our pal Brian Stone King, School of Sweat Forever. He writes, and after your conversation about number sevens yesterday, he says, my two cents is that any number seven should be to honor Steve Yeager.
I agree with that. Having grown up a Dodger fan, I can still remember, you know, that great shot from the 1974 World Series when Joe Ferguson threw out the runner at home plate and there's Steve Yeager holding the ball up over his head, number seven on his back.
Last one for today, Dave Kropp at Kropp's Corner writes in, hey, Buster, have you considered a pitching alternative to your crush quotient statistic? How about total outs recorded divided by the number of pitches thrown or something else?
Well, you know what, Dave, I think you're right. And it's easy. I think total bases allowed divided by, you know, per 100 pitches, which is how Hembo's done this. I guarantee you Jacob deGrom would be in the top three. You know that. That's a great idea. I'm actually going to forward that to Hembo later today.
All right. Good idea, David. Thanks for writing in, everyone. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter. And please follow, rate, and review this podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
That's it for today. My thanks to Alden, to Sarah, to Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.